And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Good evening, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop, where we bring you all the news the government does not want you to know. I'm your host, Mark Levine, a former congressional attorney. I used to work for the Democrats. And today we're sponsoring a debate with a Republican. As a Democrat, I think it's important to know how the other side thinks, particularly since they've been running the country for the last 6 years. My guest today is Buzz Hawley. He's really kind of my counterpart because he was working for Congress as a staffer for the Republicans. So we hope to give you a lot of inside baseball tonight, discuss the issues of today. As usual, you are welcome to join in the discussion. You hear something that we say, you question it, you disagree with it, you agree with one of us, you disagree with both of us, whatever it is, we welcome your calls. The toll-free number is right there on your screen, 888-488-MARK. Buzz Hawley, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Pleasure to be here, Mark. I'm happy to be here.
There's so many issues to discuss. The war in Iraq continues at a blistering pace, and the Democrats want to get out, and George Bush wants to stay the course. We have Attorney General Gonzalez on the hot seat. Now number two in the department has just resigned today, Paul McNulty, over the scandal involving firing U.S. prosecutors. Tony Blair is out. Many think that his career ended because of George Bush, the war in Iraq. There's George Tenet's revelations. There's a D.C. gun ban that just got overturned by the D.C. Appeals Court. It may go up to the United States Supreme Court. Lots of things to talk about. I want to start with Iraq because that seems to be something that I think of all the issues is most on Americans' mind. I don't know if you agree with me that it's sort of the primary issue people are focusing on today.
Oh, I think it's the most fundamental issue people are discussing today. And I think, you know, there's room for disagreement on it, but it definitely is number one on the list if you talk to voters around the country.
Okay, so the Democrats have put forward a second try. Their first try was to provide funding, but with a withdrawal date. This time, they'll provide funding with no withdrawal date, but it'll provide half the funding with a revote in July to provide the other half of the funding. George Bush has said he will veto the bill. What do you think of the Democrats' second attempt?
Well, I mean, I think the Democrats are struggling mightily with the issue. And if you look, I saw a very interesting figure today, Mark, about Congress's approval rating. The AP has done a poll, and the Democrats' approval rating right now in running the Congress is 35%, which was the level where it was right before November, right before the congressional election that kicked the Republicans out of the majorities in the House and the Senate. If you are a Democratic strategist in this country right now, you have to be nervous because when they asked people the question, what do you think about the Congress's performance, what they say is there's no performance. They haven't moved any legislation down the field. They're over 25% into their two-year term, and Iraq has been their major stumbling block. They can't even agree within their own caucus on how they're going to proceed. The president has said time and time again, let's come to the White House, let's talk. Speaker Pelosi rejected his invitation.
Come to the White House, let's talk.
Yes,
now,
he has.
First of all, those poll numbers really surprised me. They've been 4 months in office, so let's see. That's one out of 12. That's hardly 25, about 10% into their term. And I'm surprised those numbers are so low, but if they are, let me suggest to you that what the American people are saying is the Democrats, you're not being forceful enough against George Bush. 60+% of us want the troops home. The great majority of the Democrats, in fact, there was a recent vote, some 80% of the Democrats want the troops home. Let me suggest that Pelosi is making a mistake by putting compromises forward that Bush is vetoing. If the American people are mad at Congress, they're mad at the Republicans in Congress for not overriding George Bush's veto, because Americans understand that we haven't achieved anything in Iraq. Let me ask you this. Ronald Reagan famously said to Jimmy Carter in 1980, are you better off than we were 4 years ago? We began the war in Iraq 4 years ago. 4 years ago, George Bush stood on the battleship, mission accomplished, the sign is there. Tell me this. It is now 4 years after a time when Saddam Hussein was a minor threat, well contained, the whole world loved us and supported us in our war against the Taliban in Afghanistan. Is America better off having gone into Iraq than it was 4 years ago?
I think, you know, when you say that America was unified on the Afghanistan issue, if you look at their Democratic votes against that as well,
there
it's sort of revisionist
history.
Hold on.
Democratic vote.
There was not just Barbara Lee was a Democratic vote. But you had people who questioned whether we should go into that, who questioned whether war was the right answer. Maybe we should serve legal subpoenas like we did in the Clinton administration. administration, all this stuff.
Okay, but
getting back to the Congress.
Nazis that support the Republican Party. That doesn't mean all Republicans are Nazis. The Democrats didn't support the war in Afghanistan is absolutely false, and you know it.
It is not false. Barbara Lee,
out of Oakland, and it frankly has candidates run against her to her left, the Green candidate, was the only Democratic representative of 535 people in Congress who voted against a war in Afghanistan.
You just blew by that whole poll that I said, and it's not 4 months. They got in January the 3rd. You did the intro to the show, Mark. You said Republicans have been running the country. Democrats have controlled the House and the Senate
for the last five months.
Fine, whatever you want to say on the time. 35% is pretty low when you look at the poll numbers.
I looked more at the poll. It is at the Democrat.
The poll question is the Democratic leadership of Congress, 35% approval. Now, if you want to run around saying...
What's the Republican leadership of Congress?
It doesn't matter. They're not in the majority.
16%?
They're not in the
5%?
Majority. Do you want to compare yourself to the Republican? 35%. If you want to be at 35%, that's fine.
What was the poll for Republicans?
They didn't have the number for the Republicans.
Okay. All right.
But you look at the number, 35%, and that's because the Democrats have obstructed the agenda that the president has. He wants to put through the Congress.
You got to be kidding me. 35%.
You can't name one. The American
people are mad at the Democrats because they are not supporting the war in Iraq enough. You think the American people, 65%,
they're not working cooperatively with the president. I think that's what it is.
You think Americans are mad at the Democrats because we need to spend 5,000 more lives in Iraq, hundreds of billions of dollars. We need to raise taxes for Iraq. This is what you're proposing?
Mark, if you want, you know the congressional math as well as I do. The reason the Congress is controlled by the Democrats today, especially in the House, is because the Democrats ran to the middle. It's not because they ran to the left. They ran, that's right.
It's because of the war in
Iraq.
But do
you think...
It's because of massive spending. The Democrats have been the fiscal conservatives for the last 20 years.
Do you think that they want to go back? Yeah, that's one of the things they promised. They promised they'd pass all these appropriations bills by October 1st. They're nowhere close. They're way behind. They're way behind on the war supplemental. They're way behind.
Because the Republican Congress didn't do last year's appropriations
bill. Doesn't matter.
You're blaming that on the Democrats.
It does not matter. They haven't even done this year's appropriations.
Why don't the Republicans believe in bipartisanship? Why don't they believe in working with the Democrats to find a way out of the war in Iraq?
George Bush asked Speaker Pelosi to come. She rejected the invitation
at first. They passed two bills.
She rejected the invitation. It wasn't until Harry Reid went to Speaker Pelosi and said, you need to do this.
Okay.
If you want
to... So in your view, not only should we never withdraw from Iraq, but the Democrats should roll over and give George Bush whatever he wants.
No, I think they should work cooperatively. I think
When will George Bush support withdrawal from Iraq?
The Democrats speak out of both sides of their mouth. The same time they say we want to work in a bipartisan fashion on Iraq. At the other time they say, unless you do what we want, President, we're not going to support you any way we can.
I'm going to pull out my old friend, the Constitution of the United States. Constitution of the United States says that Congress is in control of funding.
Mm-hmm. They sure are.
War funding is in charge of... Congress is in charge. The Democrats right now could say, George Bush, the American people are against this war. We're against this war. We've given you 4 years to succeed, and all you've done is create a terrorist state where none existed before. You've brought Al-Qaeda and weapons of mass destruction into a country that didn't have it before. Now, the Constitution says the Democrats can simply say, no more war, no more funding. Sorry, George Bush. Let me suggest to you that the American people, if they're mad at the Democrats, are mad at them for not saying, George Bush, we had it. We're taking the troops home. They're dying for no reason. They're wounded for no reason. Let's bring them home.
The facts don't support that. If your facts as stated were true, how come the Democrats can't override the veto in the House?
They don't have two-thirds.
They don't have 66% then of the Congress. They have the votes to pass a majority. That's it. If there was this overwhelming desire to pass the war supplemental...
Are you saying the Republicans should work to override the veto, too?
No, I don't think so at all.
Okay. So the Democrats want to end the war. George Bush wants to continue the war until he's out of office. That's very important to him, whether we succeed or not. And he doesn't want any benchmarks. He doesn't want any tests to see if we're succeeding. So now they're at an impasse. Now the American people don't like the impasse. Do you think more of them support ending the war in Iraq, bringing the troops home, stop spending the money, or do you think more of them support standing in the middle of a Shiite-Sunni civil war?
I'd be very curious to see if the American public supports a surrender date, like the Democrats are advocating on the Hill, a date certain for a pullout. The Republicans are willing to work with the Democrats. We're surrendering the war in Iraq. That's what we're surrendering. We're leaving.
Who's the enemy? Who are we fighting?
The enemy is Iraq and
the enemy is Iraq? I thought
Al-Qaeda. The Al-Qaeda is over there. It's more than that. It's certainly more than that. It has quite an influence there. But you go back to the number that if there was this much support for ending the war the way you suggest it should be, Mark, then you'd be able to override the vetoes.
No,
well, then it's not working.
You know that's not the way it works. Okay.
Yeah, I do know the way it works.
Come on.
That is the way it works. That is the way it works.
No, sir.
You have a bare majority.
The American people don't get to vote in Congress. They get
sure they do. They vote for their members
of Congress.
They vote all the time.
Which are all duly gerrymandered to help the Republicans, as you know.
Now, well, then how come the Democrats took control of the House?
Because when 70% support the Democrats, 55% get elected. Now, if we get 80%,
that's
maybe we
a curious
can get
argument.
Not really. It's very
that
easy to
is
understand.
Very curious.
You know how it is.
I know how it is.
Exactly. In Florida,
the Democrats took control.
Districts going out into the ocean for 200 miles, grabbing all black neighborhoods into one nice apartheid system so that all blacks vote for the Democrats, and then you have the remaining districts in Florida vote 60-40 for Republicans. I mean, Florida is a state that's 50-50 Democrats and Republicans.
Perhaps.
And yet they vote 75%.
The governor got more than 60%.
And we have, they have
Charlie
Crist.
Charlie
right.
Crist won
so
big time.
It can go either way.
What explains that in a Democratic year?
What explains the Democratic Senate race? My point is that Florida can go either way. Democrats or Republicans. It has in the past.
If you want to send the Heath Shulers of the world, if you want to send these members of Congress, no, we're not. If you want to send these Democratic members home with a surrender day, go for it.
Florida. This is an example. All right. State that Al Gore barely won in 2000. George Bush won in 2004.
Easily.
A state 52-47.
Easily.
I mean, that's very close.
This climate,
a state that's elected two Democratic senators, elected a Republican governor. This state has 25 representatives.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the Florida legislature, they have designed districts to make sure that 18 of those 25 are Republican. To do that, they have to group all blacks into these districts, like Alcee Hastings districts, that goes hundreds of miles out into the ocean in an amazing gerrymander. That way you have all the Democrats voting 100% in one district, and then you make all the other districts 60-40, and then, of course, you know where Vern Buchanan got cheated out because of the voting machines. My point is this.
Vern Buchanan won. Explains the two congressional districts, Mark, in Florida that flipped right on the Atlantic Ocean?
What we need
if it's so gerrymandered.
The point is this. Yes, 25% of the American people still support the president. And because of that, they've got 40-something percent of the votes in Congress. If the people are mad at Congress, let me suggest to you they're mad at the obstructionist Republican minority.
But
that
that's
is
not
saying,
the question,
we
Mark.
Want to stay
that's
in
not
Iraq
the question.
Forever.
You are running the Congress. Your party is running the Congress.
Not true.
They are. Of course they are. They're in the majority. They're
you
in the majority.
The majority can't do everything.
Being in the majority is hard work, Mark.
Your president,
it's easy to sit on the sidelines like you did for 12 years and throw spitballs.
We are passing legislation. The president is vetoing that legislation.
They have to work harder.
Are with Congress or they're with the president?
Well, if you look at this constitution that you have, there's also the veto in there. It's part of the system of government.
The president has a right to veto.
Sure he does.
And
you're saying he doesn't.
Of course he does. He has a right to veto. Congress has the right to do its job. It's doing its job. The president has a right to veto.
Mm-hmm.
He has a right to veto.
Mm-hmm.
What's happening now is 65% of the American people support what Congress is doing in passing these bills.
No, 35% support the Democratic majority, according to the Associated Press.
Look,
now, I don't think they're a gerrymandered news organization.
What I'm saying is,
I think they are an accurate
you
purveyor
think
of public
people
opinion.
Want to stay in Iraq for what, 20
no,
years?
No, I'm not saying that at all.
Years?
I'm saying
how
that
long do you think the American
I am
people
saying
want to stay in
that
Iraq?
As a Democrat, you should be highly concerned
I'm not.
That the honeymoon, there wasn't even a honeymoon.
I know there wasn't. Bush said, I'm going to veto whatever you do, and
that's
I'm
not
going to
negotiate
with you.
That's with the voters.
Look,
that is
the Democrats,
the voters.
First of all, did an amazing beginning until you started the filibuster.
And by the way,
let me give you an example. They passed the minimum wage in the first 100 days.
Mm-hmm.
Your party doesn't want a minimum wage. Your party wants to give lots of subsidies to rich oil executives, but you don't want to help the common American. Your party.
What are the subsidy to oil
executives? Well, hundreds of billions of dollars to Exxon and Mobil.
What are the oil subsidies? So you support a windfall profit tax?
I support not giving poor people's money over to rich people.
You have a 401k?
I don't know what that's to do with that.
It does.
Take a break. Folks, the toll-free number, 888-488-MARS, 888-488-6275. If you get a word edgewise, I promise you won't.
Probably still there with it.
History
Judy,
has
right?
demonstrated that violence only begets greater violence. And injustice only begets greater injustice. This is not the tradition of our great nation. This is not how we want the United States to be known around the world. we have another tradition that we think ought to prevail. One that is more just and more powerful. There is a better way. If we truly want peace and security, then we must work hard for justice. If you're concerned that we've become a nation whose national policies are grounded in beliefs that are centered on a line embedded in BS, then don't miss Escape from Orwellianation, a talk show in which concerned regular citizens like you and me, not self-serving media spinmeisters, wade through the barrage of newspeak and doublethink that pollutes public discourse today. Big Brother, big business, big media, and the big national parties who collude to keep we the people afraid and in the dark would prefer that you not watch. Show them who's in charge. Tune in to Escape from Orwellianation right here on Channel 10.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark. From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. My guest is another former congressional staffer. His name is Buzz Hawley, and we're having quite a spirited debate. If you want to join in, it's easy to do. You have the number right there, 888-488-MARK. Join in the discussion. Let me see if I can just get some basic answers out of you. Why are we in Iraq?
We are in Iraq because it was part of the front in the war on terror. And
You're not claiming Iraq had any involvement in 9/11, are you?
I don't think Iraq had any involvement in 9/11.
Okay, so you're saying Iraq was more of a front in the war on terror in 2002 than it is today?
I think the intelligence at that time led it to be
okay,
a part of the
war. Okay, so a mistaken intelligence. That's why we're in Iraq.
The intelligence was not exactly where it needed
okay,
to be.
Okay, so we made a mistake, and we're in a war in Iraq.
Well, I don't
based
think I'm not
mistake.
Saying we made a mistake, because I think there are plausible reasons to go into Iraq,
well,
especially with Saddam Hussein in
why
charge,
we're in
and
Iraq.
You know, thought of weapons of mass destruction, okay. Him selling that off to Al Qaeda or
okay,
something like that,
he didn't
to pull
have
another 9/11. Well, we didn't know that at the time.
Okay, so what you're saying is we got into Iraq because of a mistake. That's what you're saying.
I won't call it a mistake.
Faulty intelligence.
I would say faulty intelligence.
Okay,
perhaps.
And I would say cherry-picked intelligence. But either way, it is
fair enough.
Okay, so we got in there for something that if we'd known all the truth in 2002, we never would be there.
I don't think that's true.
Okay, you think we should be there? Even I mean, George Bush has said that if he knew now what he knew then, he'd still be in Iraq. Do you agree with him?
I think that it's a more nuanced question than the president makes it out to be. I think there were compelling reasons to go into Iraq.
Okay.
Now I
you,
think that.
Let me ask you the same question then. If you knew now what you knew then, no WMDs, no connection to 9/11, would you have supported the war in
Iraq? I think if it stabilizes our efforts in the Middle East and if it helps prevent terror here at home, I would have been there, yes.
Well, if it causes kumbaya and everyone to hold hands and sing songs,
I mean, Saddam Hussein was an evil person.
He killed
women and children, Mark.
Yes,
he killed the Kurds.
Yes, he did.
And, you know, it's kind of interesting to me that a lot of the Democrats who were in Congress then and now were on both sides of the issues, because back then they faulted George Bush, the father, for not going far enough. And they stopped, and now they're faulting George W. Bush for going in.
I don't know why Dick Cheney was shaking Saddam Hussein's hand. I don't know why George Bush and Ronald Reagan were such big, you know, people giving Saddam Hussein the same biological weapons that they're worried about. I don't know why your party's been supporting him, but here's the thing. There are evil dictators all over the world. In Darfur right now, there's a genocide going on that we don't care about because, I don't know, maybe because they're black, maybe because they don't have oil. You can't say that the only reason we're there is because Saddam Hussein's a bad guy.
No,
is that all you're
he
saying?
He was a. I, no, that's not what I'm saying. That I believe Saddam Hussein was a danger to this country.
How?
And in the days after 9/11, well, he proved to be a danger to his own people. If he's selling weapons of mass destruction, if he is providing nuclear materials to Al Qaeda and to other entities over there in the Middle East,
if he's doing all these things that he wasn't doing. That's a different argument. That's the mistake. If he had WMDs, but we know he didn't. If he had nuclear weapons, but we know he didn't. If he had connections with Al-Qaeda, but we know he didn't.
We're not sure of that. We're not sure of that final point.
Of course we are.
We are not sure of that final point. There have been links between
Saddam Hussein. All you have to ask is not just George Tenet and Richard Clark. You can ask George Bush, who had to admit that there were no connections. So
there's not
even Dick Cheney, who has fervently tried to show a connection, has had to admit that he can't find one.
But in those days, every presidential candidate you have has voted for this. And a lot of them haven't gone back. You asked Hillary Clinton the same question you ask me, and she answers it the same way I do. Now, I hate to compare myself to Hillary Clinton.
Before you change the subject, let me just get a few things straight. Every single thing you said about the reason we're in war in Iraq is due to something that was wrong. It was a mistake.
No, that's not true.
I say it's because
that is not true.
Saddam Hussein was a bad guy.
Saddam Hussein was a threat to the stability of the region.
Okay.
I think that is true. I think a lot of people think that's true.
I think every presidential candidate except Edwards thinks that. Let's go
on your side.
Let's go through it. W&Ds wasn't there. Nuclear wasn't there. Al-Qaeda wasn't there.
We don't know Al-Qaeda was not there. Nuclear materials were not there.
Do you think George Tenet's lying when he says Al-Qaeda had
I don't think George Tenet is lying. I think lying is a strong term. I think there's differing views on the intelligence failure.
There's no differing view. In fact, no one still holds that there was any significant connection. Every single person in the intelligence field, every person in the military, the only person who still claims a connection is Dick Cheney, and even he says, I can't find one yet, but I'm still looking. So it's resolved. The only way Al-Qaeda got into Iraq is because George Bush decided to invade. They're there now, but they weren't there 4 years ago.
And now the Democrats want to pull out with a surrender date and turn the country over to Al-Qaeda.
But it's great to go back.
Mark, hindsight is 20/20 vision.
Okay.
And if you want to go back and argue your presidential candidates are the same as I am on the issue.
We got there based on
and
the mistake.
And this is easy to do, just to go back and nitpick. There were valid arguments
But first, I got to, in order to figure out what to do today, I think it's important to realize how we started this.
All right.
Because we started this based on faulty intelligence. Now, Richard Clark and George Tenet and Paul O'Neill and a whole host of other Republicans will say it wasn't actually faulty intelligence. It was, as they said in the Downing Street memo, fixing the facts around the intelligence. Richard Pearl and Dick Cheney wanted to believe Iraq was a threat so badly that, as Richard Clark has said, the president ordered him 3 times to find a connection between Al-Qaeda and Iraq. And 3 times he told the president, sir, there is none. So wishful thinking. But the point is, we got there based on a mistake. The reasons to go apart from that mistake that you said, you said Saddam Hussein was a threat to the United States.
Yes, he was.
You said he was a threat to the region, and you said he was a threat to his own people.
That's correct.
Are there any other reasons?
I think those are the major ones.
Is oil one of them?
I don't think oil is one of them,
no. So threat to the U.S., threat to the...
I think that's a threat in a certain degree to economic health.
Let's start with the threat to the United States. How was Saddam Hussein a threat to the United States?
I think if Saddam Hussein was supplying intelligence, was harboring Al-Qaeda...
Intelligence as the president had it at the time of the decision, said that was a mistake too.
So if you want to go in on faulty intelligence, it's great to go back and look at it in hindsight.
So
but if you want to defend...
If he was plotting to nuke the United States, he was a real danger. We should have invaded him.
And we didn't know
if
it.
Canada
the Israelis thought the same thing in the 80s.
If Canada... he had nuclear weapons in the
80s. He did. Well, who says he
couldn't
have them again?
And Israel bombed them, and Reagan complained and said that Israel shouldn't have done that. But look...
So you think they should have done that?
I do think they should have done that.
Yeah, I think they should have done
it,
too.
I do, too. So what you said is if he was planning to do all these things that there's no evidence he was planning to do...
Which Iraq had a history of doing.
He was a threat to the United States.
Iraq had a history of doing.
But again, that was a mistake.
I'm not saying it's a mistake, no. I think that it's a plausible... it could have been happening. And the intelligence as they had it at that time...
Okay, but it wasn't happening.
Well, we don't know that.
Sure we do.
No, we don't.
We know he didn't have nuclear weapons.
We don't know that.
You think Saddam Hussein had nuclear weapons?
We don't know. We don't know what technology he had. I mean, it's easy to sit here and on the sidelines and sort of debate this.
You think Saddam Hussein still could have had nuclear weapons?
He had nuclear technology. He had it in the 80s.
Well, you know, we all can read Google.
Maybe I have nuclear technology. We all can't build nuclear reactors if the Israelis have to bomb either.
No, but he didn't have
plutonium. I mean, that's an easy thing to say.
The president had to lie about it to the American people, that's claiming something going down in Niger. Cheney had to out a U.S. spy in order to try to punish Joe Wilson.
A nonpartisan spy, of course.
I happen to think it's a traitorous act, and George Bush Sr. called it a traitorous act to out a CIA agent. So,
and we don't know that Dick Cheney did that.
So there's no evidence he was a threat to the United States. He could have been. He might have been. It was a mistake. Let's talk about a threat to the region. All right?
He was a threat to the region. He's a threat to the Kurds.
He fought a war with Iran. A terrible war. 1 million people died in the 1980s in the biggest Shiite-Sunni conflagration ever.
Are you actually arguing he's not a threat to the region? He invaded Kuwait.
What I'm saying is he was less of a threat in 2002 than he was in the 1990s and in the 1980s.
Oh, we don't know that at all. We have no
knowledge
of that.
In the 1980s, a million people were dying. In the 1990s, he invaded Kuwait.
He was funneling.
In 2002, we had planes going over half of his country to the south, the Kurdish area to the north. We were shooting down anything that moved.
He had the sixth largest army in the world at that point. How can you say that he was not a threat to the region?
Okay.
He's invaded
his army,
other countries.
His army was a third the size of what it was in the Persian Gulf War.
It wasn't. It was about a half.
What I read is about a third. In any case, it was smaller. Whatever threat Iran was in 2002, you have to agree he was a bigger threat in the 1990s and 1980s.
But that's immaterial.
Well, in the 1980s, we were helping
some years,
him.
The Yankees win 110 games. Some years, they win 100 games.
In the 1980s, we were giving him aid, right? I mean, Ronald Reagan was making sure he had that biological weapons.
And Jimmy Carter did that, too, and the Democratic Congress passed that.
Well, no.
Sure they did.
That wasn't never passed by the Democratic
Congress.
Sure
it was. In the 1980s, the foreign aid budget's passed by the Democrats.
But he didn't do it through foreign aid budget. You know that. It was done off the books. There was arms for hostages to Iran. Halliburton was selling him chemical weapons. That's why we thought he had them. We sold him the weapons. That's why we thought we'd find them until Bill Clinton destroyed them in the 90s. My point is this. Saddam Hussein's threat in 02 was no worse than it was in the 90s or the 80s. Did he hurt his own people? He did, but I can name for
terribly.
You 20, 30 other countries that were worse.
Why would you go back to the
Liberia,
point? He was a threat.
Sudan,
he was
Afghanistan.
A threat. But those people,
okay.
They're not. You go back to the point. He was a threat to the region.
Why are we in Darfur today? Can you agree that the threat to the Darfur people is greater in Sudan?
Oh, I think a massacre genocide is terrible.
That's right.
Sure.
Isn't there a higher moral good for us to be in Darfur?
Oh,
today?
I think that you and I would agree there's a moral good for us to be in Darfur. I'm not going to go around saying we shouldn't be in Darfur.
We could save lives in
but
Darfur.
But I'm saying that...
Did we save lives in Iraq?
We did. I think we did.
How many did...
We
how
saved
many
the Kurds.
Hundreds of thousands have died.
We've saved so many lives.
Was Saddam Hussein massacring the Kurds in 02?
But you go back to your point. That you, again, want to skip by is this point that he was a threat to the region. He was a massive threat to the region.
Was Iraq a threat to the region?
I'm not going to be a defender of Saddam. If you want to defend Saddam, that's your choice.
Iraq was a threat to the region. Saudi Arabia is a threat to the region. Hamas is a threat to the region.
They are.
Hezbollah is a threat to the region. Syria, big threat to the region. Pakistan, which is right now harboring Osama bin Laden, maybe not willingly, but definitely a threat to the region.
Yeah, but Pakistan is not, I mean, Pakistan is an ally
Sudan,
of this country.
Sudan, threat to the region.
Sudan is not the threat of Iraq.
Libya.
Libya is cooperating. Thanks to the president,
is a
he's cooperating.
China is a threat. Putin today is a threat. We have lots and lots of threats in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You are arguing, I think, that Saddam Hussein was the most important threat facing the United States in Oceania.
He was a significant threat. He was a significant threat.
888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Join the debate. We'll be right back after
this. This is Mommy's bed. Me and Jenny were jumping on it.
I had to pack up against the wall to get some admissions.
Mommy's gun fell on the floor. I was a cowboy. Bang, 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 bang. I said, Jenny, wake up, wake up. It's just pretend. But she wouldn't wake up. If you give me a fish...
If you give someone a fish...
You feed them for a day.
Teach someone to fish.
You feed them for a lifetime.
Give me a fish, and you'll feed me for a day. Teach me to fish. And you'll feed me for a lifetime.
Through Volunteers of America, you can help change lives in your community.
Oh, hey, mister. Studied algebra in school and got a better job than I could. You take the last call.
Oh, no, mister. Stuck in an entry-level job because you only learned basic math. I don't have a boss riding my butt like you do, so you take it so you can get back to your desk.
You know, I probably should, but... Maybe Miss AP Calculus with the $200 haircut in the big office upstairs would like a cup.
Oh, no, Mr. What was your name again? Never mind, it doesn't matter. I'm too busy doing important things to care. I just came down for some sweetness, sir.
You know, if my limited math abilities weren't keeping me from getting a better job, I'd quit this afternoon.
I don't blame you. But thank goodness you're stuck here because we really need someone to make the coffee.
Line it up, baby.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We're going at it fast and furious, and I really want to recommend, just because we're at each other's throats, first of all, he's a good guy, Buzz Hawley. I disagree with him, but there's no violence in this place, and what that means is you're welcome to join in the discussion. Again, feel free to tell me I'm wrong, tell Buzz he's wrong, tell us we're both wrong. We want to hear from you. That's what live shows are all about. Toll-free number, 888-488-MARK.
I've been told I'm wrong plenty of times, Mark. Exactly. It won't hurt my feelings.
Okay, so we've got, I think we've made the point that we're in Iraq mostly because of a mistake. It was a threat, but clearly there were more significant threats. I mean, you're not saying that Iraq was a greater threat than North Korea or Iran, are you?
I think now you could look at it that way.
Yes,
I
but
think
02,
at that
in 02.
Time, in 02, I would say that Iraq, with accepting your point that the intelligence was somewhat faulty,
right,
that it was the largest threat.
Okay. So in hindsight, it wasn't the largest threat. But now, today.
In hindsight, it is not the largest threat.
Today.
But we are there now, and we must win.
It's 4 years later.
I want to
ask you Ronald Reagan's question.
Mm-hmm.
Are we better off 4 years from now having invaded Iraq than we would have been had we not? Knowing what we know now, can we say that in hindsight, it was a mistake?
I don't think it's a mistake, because I think it helps to advance the cause that we're trying to advance. Just today,
what is the cause we're trying to advance?
To try to attempt to fight Islamic radicalism around the world.
Okay.
And
no,
if you look just today,
yeah.
Just today, the leader of the rejuvenated Taliban was found dead, thanks to our efforts in Afghanistan.
Right.
We are eliminating
Which
the leadership of the Taliban.
99% of Americans support, including myself.
They don't all
the
support that. They don't all support
well,
that, Mark.
I should tell you, I have argued with people to my left. People on my show know. Those that don't support the war in Afghanistan, I have it out with them, because I've always supported
right.
that war.
Right.
Now, you raise an interesting point. It's a great point. There is an Islamic radical threat. There's no question in my mind that threat is there. It exists. It's real. Did the war in Iraq increase the radical Islamic threat to the United States, or decreased? The
I think it. I honestly think it decreased.
You tell me how it decreased.
I think it decreased because number one, in time, Iraq is going to become a stable democracy in the Middle East.
Really?
Does that help us?
The only one I know that believes
yes.
that.
Does that help Israel? Yes. Does that help our other allies in the Middle East? Yes.
If all of our enemies, as I said, would just hold hands and sing songs, life would be better. But it's been 4 years,
it
and
has.
You still think Iraq is going to end up a stable
I
democracy
think things,
in the Middle East?
I do think it's going to end
when
up stable.
When do you think that's going to happen?
I think it's going to end up in the next 5 years.
The
do I say we should stay in Iraq 5 years? I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that this is the first opportunity ever in their lifetimes that Iraqis have been able to try to pursue a stable democracy. You look at the number of people who voted in their parliamentary elections. Percentages are through the roof. Puts this country to shame. You give the people of Iraq the chance to participate in a stable democracy, it will work.
And if you give the people of Iraq the chance to get rid, if they're Shiites, of those awful Sunnis that controlled the country, they'll do it. You get rid of those Sunnis, a chance to get rid of those awful Shiites that want to take control, they'll do it.
That is
and you know what? They both think they're going to win. And that is the perfect way to have a civil war. It's interesting. If you look at wars in history, wars between nation states often end up with some kind of signed resolution treaties. Civil wars don't usually end in any case until the last person's dead. We're entering a huge civil war in Iraq, aren't we?
We'll see. I don't think so. No, I don't think so. You look at the cooperation that they've had in Iraq with some of the higher levels of government within the parliament.
You're not talking
there
about
are people
Maliki,
there.
Are
there
you?
Are people there who want to cooperate, make this work. It are those outside of Iraq who are fomenting this hate and this disconnect
Buzz.
Against the government. Because if it works there, it will work in other
Buzz.
Places.
Prime Minister Maliki has just been discovered to have a secret group called The Office. Did you hear about this? And in The Office, there's entirely Shiite in the government, and what they're doing is they're making sure the Shiite militias are killing the Sunnis, and they're using us as patsies to do their dirty
work.
That
sounds like fantasy.
I'm afraid it's
it
not.
It sounds
Tell
like
you
a
what,
fantasy.
In the break, I promise you, I will find the citation
right.
for it, because
fine.
I'm afraid that we are actually helping Maliki do his dirty work.
And there are
work.
UFOs landing here outside our studios.
I'll find it for you. I think Islamic radicalism has increased. Let me suggest to you that after September 11, 2001, the entire world was supportive of the United States. France said, we're all Americans
Oh,
now.
And the French? We should go even, by the French?
Even Arab countries understood we have a right to self-defense, understood our war in Afghanistan. Let me suggest to you that Osama bin Laden was on the ropes. that he had no friends, that people did not support his attack, the great majority of the Islamic world. Some did, yes, but the great majority did not, and people were not very supportive of the Taliban. They knew those awful things that they'd done to women. Let me suggest to you that our invasion of Iraq took that all away, that now more people are joining the jihad. More people are joining there because they see us as a vicious country that attacked a country, Iraq, that was no threat to us and didn't attack us.
Well, first of all, it was a threat. Second of all, you mentioned France. If France is so opposed to what we're doing in Iraq, why did they just elect a president who's pro-America, pro-Iraq?
He doesn't support the war in
Iraq. Sure he does. He supported more than the current incumbent. How come all of Europe is moving to the right?
They don't support the war in Iraq.
How come France elected this president?
Look, I mean, you could talk about whether France should be more socialist or more capitalist. That's an internal
question. I mean, Sarkozy is hardcore American supporter.
He's hardcore.
He is a right-wing supporter.
You know,
right-wing
France
States.
Is far to the left of the Democrats in Congress. Can we agree on that?
I don't think so. I'm not sure about that. I mean, they might be to the right of the Republicans.
I would suggest to you that Islamic radicalism has increased. That around the world, the same world that used to hold up the Statue of Liberty in Tiananmen Square and look to America as a font of democracy, now sees a country that tortures people, that puts people in jail without giving them a trial, that spies on 250 million
Who
Americans.
Who are we putting in jail without a trial?
Well, Jose Padilla was in jail for 5 years. He's finally getting a trial now.
Jose Padilla is a terrorist.
Yes. Well, don't you think we have to prove it in a court of law?
We do.
Do you think we can
just
pick up any American citizen and call them a terrorist and put them in jail forever?
We don't
or we have to follow this document right here?
We don't pick up people all over the world and put them in without trial, without
What's
due process.
What's going on in Guantanamo Bay right now?
Those are war criminals, Mark.
Okay.
They're not American citizens.
You're telling me they're terrorists?
They're not citizens of the United States.
So we can go to any country and pick up people who are non-citizens and not charge them with anything and hold them forever without trial. That's your
No,
view.
That's not my view.
Isn't that what we're doing in Guantanamo Bay?
No, that's not what
Let me ask
doing
you this.
In Guantanamo,
Guantanamo Bay. Several hundred,
that's absolutely
several
not
hundred
what we're
people
doing there.
Were released.
That's a simplistic view of Guantanamo
Buzz,
Bay.
Several hundred people were released in Guantanamo Bay after being there for 4 years. Tell me this. Were they innocent or were they guilty?
We don't know.
Why did we release
them? They were
them?
Held. They were held for, as material witnesses. You look at Guantanamo Bay.
Why not
those are
give
war
them a trial?
Criminals. Because we don't have to give trials to people who are not American citizens. It's
okay.
A war crime.
What?
It is not
we
a
released
crime.
400
That's
people.
The problem
you
in the 90s in the Clinton administration.
So you think
these
they were
people
innocent?
Are treated with subpoenas. Do you think they care about subpoenas?
You think they were innocent, the 400 people?
Do I? And the ones in Guantanamo? I don't know.
You don't know where they were innocent
I
or not?
Think they probably were guilty.
Okay. If they're guilty. Now, let me suggest to you that George Bush is being lax on terrorism. If they're guilty, let me suggest to you that we give them a trial and give them the death penalty and not release them to kill Americans again. And if they're innocent, why were they in jail for 4 years? The answer is when you hold someone without a trial, you have no idea whether they're guilty or innocent, whether they just got wrapped up and the Northern Alliance grabbed them in Afghanistan and put them in Guantanamo Bay.
They just got wrapped up. You don't
what about Maher Arar, who was tortured in Syria? We sent him to be tortured, and he was completely innocent. All right?
That's like 0.1% of what's going on in Guantanamo Bay.
It's not. In
I
fact,
mean, these are dangerous, hardened terrorists.
How do you
the
know?
The majority.
How do you know? Give me, show me the evidence.
How do we know?
Yeah. Where's the evidence? Give me the evidence that a single one of them is.
You do not. The dual document you wave around, that applies to U.S. citizens. Jose
Padilla
Yasser
Hamdi and
Yasser,
Jose Padilla.
Yasser is not an American citizen.
He was an American citizen. There
well,
were
was
two.
He? Okay.
Yes, he was a Saudi Arabian. There are two
okay.
American
okay.
citizens. One was Jose Padilla, one was, Hamdi.
I would agree those two deserve due process.
Okay, but George
That's
Bush.
That's fine. They're American citizens. Okay. They deserve due process.
What
just
do you
like
think
John
the
Walker
world,
Lind
Okay,
got.
Let me ask you this. If an American is kidnapped mm-hmm. in this former Soviet Union, mm-hmm. who happens to be over there,
mm-hmm.
okay,
mm-hmm.
and is held without trial, accused of being a spy. The American says, I'm innocent. But Russia, not Soviet Union anymore, takes the American, accuses the American of being a dangerous spy, refuses to give that American a trial, refuses to give him an attorney, and says, we're going to hold you forever without a trial and without charges. Would you support America condemning strongly Russia and saying, you can't do that with our
well,
citizens?
Well, that's what makes the United States so great, is we do have a constitution, and we do have due process, and our citizens get due process. Terrorists do not get due process.
So we have a right to
Terrorists
complain.
Terrorists
do hold on,
not deserve
We'd
due
have a
process.
Right to complain
People
if
that
another
kill
country...
on 9/11, Mark, do not deserve due process.
People who kill on 9/11 get due process, and then it leads
not
to the
Not if they're
death
not
penalty.
Americans. No, they shouldn't. It is a war. They're war criminals. They're not American citizens. It's a wholly different subject. And you know it.
Are you
You're a good
me?
Lawyer.
No, wait a
you
minute,
know
wait a minute,
it's
wait a minute,
different.
Wait a minute. You're telling me that it's okay with you if another country takes American citizens...
No, I didn't say that.
Have a right to complain.
We do not have it. Russia is obviously more of a totalitarian state. We have the Constitution.
I don't know that Russia
Thank
more.
Goodness
we're
we have the Constitution.
We're not following this.
Sure we are.
No, we're not.
Sure. How come the Democrats haven't overturned the Patriot Act?
The Constitution, because they...
Because it was reenacted
under a Republican Congress.
Oh, so?
And yes, they don't have the votes. let's read Amendment 6. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state. They shall have the right to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to have assistance of counsel for his defense.
You can read
George Bush threw the Sixth Amendment out the window.
You can read the Constitution all you want.
Right.
That applies to American citizens.
But you hear what I'm saying?
If Jose Padilla, you can...
You hear what I'm saying?
I do.
You're saying that the American government has a right to say, we'll give due process to American citizens, but the rest of the world we can torture and kill and hold... it doesn't matter whether they're innocent
or
guilty.
If they're war criminals, yes.
We don't know they're war criminals because there's no trial.
If we suspect they're war criminals,
okay.
Yes.
We suspect someone's a bad guy, we can hold them,
we can kill them. A killer. We suspect someone is aiding and abetting the terrorists who are bent on destroying this country.
And we don't have to show any evidence, and if it's the wrong guy, innocent person, as Dana Rohrabacher said, so what?
No.
So we torture a few innocent people, it's not that big a deal. Do you see now, how can we complain if an American is in China, or in Russia, or in Saudi Arabia, or in any country on earth? How can we insist that that American have a right to due process and a trial? How can we do that?
They don't. You go to communist China, they don't get a trial.
You know, before George Bush, we used to complain about American citizens who were taken in foreign countries and held without trial. Today, you're absolutely right. George Bush had
Should
made
we have
it
given
clear.
The Nazis a trial?
We did. It was so called Nuremberg.
Yeah, that was a war trial.
That's
it was
right.
not a United
and
States courtroom
evidence,
trial.
And there were witnesses, and there were verdicts.
So we should have given any Nazi criminal a trial in this country, is
they
what
got
you're
it.
Saying.
They
did not
trial.
Get the protections of the Constitution. No, they did not.
They got
it was
the
a war trial.
It was a trial.
They got, it is a totally different
law.
Trial.
But and you we're, see my I, point. You
we're
see
in
my point.
Semantics.
You would agree that we have no right to ever complain when an American citizen is taken and held without trial, given that we do the same to people all over the world.
I would suspect our citizens who are held without trial are not terrorists bent on destroying the country that is taking
How do you
them.
Know?
How do we know? How do I not?
How do you know?
Exactly.
You have a trial. You have evidence. That's how you know. That's how you know. And interestingly, the Red Cross has said that most people in Guantanamo Bay are innocent, and I'm happy to show you that one as well.
Yeah, I'm sure they're just full of innocent people at Guantanamo Bay.
I'm
sure they are.
I think the great majority of them are, but you know how you know? You have a trial. What is wrong? I used to think a trial was the American way. I used to think the Sixth Amendment and the Fifth Amendment mm-hmm. and the Constitution was something we were proud of as Americans, that we weren't afraid of a trial, that if we could prove someone was a killer, we could prove it, and death penalty.
Mark,
why does George Bush hate
You're
due
arguing
process?
Semantics. What I am saying
is
that
semantic?
Is hold on. What I'm saying is the Constitution that you hold up here, we have due process rights for our citizens in our courtrooms. The problem, a lot of it, which I think
Except
led to 9/11, is the Clinton administration was very weak on terrorism. You look at what they did. They tried to serve subpoenas to these terrorists. They tried to do that.
Why do you
they
hit
trials,
the World Trade judges and juries?
I don't hate them, but
why
I would say that
the
there is
there
war. War trials, Mark, are different, as you know, than a trial in this country. Just because I say that they don't deserve the protections of due process as the Constitution outlines them for citizens doesn't mean I don't think
do
they
you think
deserve
there's
process.
Sufficient evidence to convict these people under?
I'd have
under
to look at them
by
case
law.
By case.
Right.
I don't know.
For some there would be, and for some
for
there
some they
be.
Would be. There some okay. they would not be.
For the,
yes,
for the ones
I think the vast
evidence,
majority
why not bring
there
to
would.
Trial?
Be. I think they would. Vast majority they would.
Then you know what? Let's trust the Americans. Let's bring them to trial, because that's what makes America great. Toll free, 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back.
First, do solemnly swear that I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States and will, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. So help me God.
Let's
My name is David Bell. I am a resident of Virginia's 11th Congressional District, and I ask Representative Tom Davis to initiate or support investigations into violations of the law by President Bush and his administration.
Tom Davis, my name is Jean Reynolds, and I'm one of your constituents. I want you to join immediately other criminal George Bush.
I'm Nick Spengler of Ashton, Virginia, and I would like our troops to come home and Bush to get out of office.
My name is Nancy Maynard. I live in the 11th Congressional District, and this message is for Tom Davis. I'm asking you to please investigate for impeachment.
My name is Bruce Smith. I live in the 11th Congressional District in Woodbridge, Virginia. I want Congressman Davis to support the investigation of President Bush and Vice President Cheney and those that foisted this war on us.
Hello, Congressman Davis. I'm Carrie Plonson from the 11th Congressional District, and I'd like you to take immediate action to investigate George Bush and his offenses in leading this country into a war that's unwarranted and there is no solution for.
We have to impeach. I am just appalled that we would not, quote, waste our time with impeachment. The message to the world has to be that Bush and Cheney are guilty of international war crimes about which we can't do anything. We can do a lot about the crimes committed within the U.S. Constitution.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop and a fierce debate I'm having here with Buzz Hawley. Both of us used to work in Congress, myself for the Democrats, him for the Republicans, and we're arguing the issues of the day. We've barely gotten actually out of Iraq, but that's okay. It is the primary issue of the day. All these questions about due process are very interesting to me. I'm a firm believer in the American system, the Constitution and due process. One of the things I think is against the law is what's called extraordinary rendition, which is a euphemism for what we're doing, kidnapping people and sending them to other countries to be tortured. Now, recently, Republican Congressman Dana Rohrabacher of Orange County, California, defended the practice and said it was necessary in the war on terror. In my view, if you don't like the law, change the law, but you should never do anything that's extra legal. I mean, that's not what our country is about. What's your view?
Well, I saw Congressman Rohrabacher's comments, and I thought there were some inappropriate points in the comments about what he made about the victims' families, people in the audience, et cetera. But
yeah,
I
hope it's your family that's hurt.
That's right, and that's wholly inappropriate.
Right.
I think that Congressman Rohrabacher, in an attempt to try to defend what we're doing overseas, made a mistake as far as what we were talking about earlier. I just want to get back to one point we were talking about with respect to this. If you want to have a war trial or something like that, that's perfectly fine in my view. What I am saying is that the courtroom
trial, kind of
trial, due process as far as it applies in the Constitution, applies to our citizens. Have a trial in a courtroom in this country.
But in Guantanamo, they're not even getting military training.
If they wanted,
it goes back to your person, Don Rumsfeld, even hid from the Red Cross, and that's a violation of the Geneva Convention.
Well, it's time the Democrats control the House and the Senate. You guys are in charge.
So we need
it's
to investigate
time for you
this
to do
kind
it.
Of stuff.
And
we
you're
need to
doing
issue
it.
Subpoenas.
You're going
to
do
need
it.
We need to find out what these people are doing. Absolutely, I agree with you, and I'm glad
okay.
to hear that. All right, let me deal with some other issues here. Alberto Gonzalez is in real trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Number two has resigned, Paul McNulty.
Mm-hmm.
We now learn more and more. It wasn't just eight prosecutors. We have a ninth, Todd Graves of Kansas City, Missouri.
Right.
And what's interesting to me is virtually every one of these, it's all involved with voting. Ever since 2000, we've seen Republicans really don't want Democrats to vote.
Yeah, we had to watch out for imagining votes and the dimpled chads and
so
the
Karl
intent.
Rove,
yeah, they
it's interesting. All of these people are in swing
fraud.
States. Nevada, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
They're all in swing states.
Mm-hmm.
And in each case, Karl Rove said, you need to prosecute people registering people to vote. The prosecutor said, there's no evidence they're doing anything wrong. Karl Rove said, do it or you're out.
So
and lo and behold,
so
they're
as an,
out.
So as an attorney, do you believe the president does not have the right to appoint his own prosecutors?
I don't believe the president has the right to try to prevent blacks and other Democrats from voting
it's not
and
the,
to do
you're
so
not answering
by
the
manipulating
question.
The Justice
you're
Department.
You're not answering the question.
No, not for improper
president,
reasons.
President, it's not
for
improper
reasons.
Reason. He can do it for any reason.
No, he can't.
Pretty
he
much
can.
He can.
Okay. If...
And that's all he did here. It's everybody
can't do it for
the
your,
Democrats.
Carol Lam,
I did not see Chuck Schumer making a big issue of the Clintons going through and firing the people at the White House who worked there for George Bush
everyone
and the
does
support
that at the
offices.
Of, at the beginning of their term.
Well,
but when Carol Lam of San Diego is prosecuting Republican Duke Cunningham, Congressman
mm-hmm,
Duke Cunningham,
mm-hmm,
for bribery,
mm-hmm,
okay,
which he was convicted.
And and trying to get at Abramoff, and there's a whole swing of other Republicans involved, and Karl Rove says, we can't, we have to keep bribery around. We can't prosecute people for bribery. Let's get Carol Lam out of there. Let's say he did it for that reason. Are you saying that's okay?
The president has the right to appoint anybody he wants to
be a
prosecutor.
That's fine.
It is fine.
If the president says, I'm firing you because I want to keep Republicans taking
bribes. That's not what he said, Mark.
If he did, that's okay with you.
No, that's not okay.
Okay, so there are some reasons.
There are.
The president
performance
can't fire
reasons.
Prosecutors.
That's right.
Right. Okay, so we agree. The president can't fire a
These
prosecutor
These prosecutors
for any
are not
reason.
Performing.
The president can't fire a prosecutor for covering up, for not going after, excuse me, the president cannot fire someone, a prosecutor, who's going after corruption. He can't say, I don't want you going after Republicans who are corrupt, and therefore I'm going to fire you.
That's not an improper reason. That's not what they're doing here.
That's an improper reason.
And that's not what they're doing.
Well, you know what? You know how we find out what they're doing? We look at their emails. Mm-hmm. But Karl Rove has destroyed some 3 million emails. What do you think he's covering up?
I don't think he's covering up anything.
Oh,
I think the emails are missing.
Emails?
I think that you want to get back to your point. The attorneys, the U.S. attorneys, work at the pleasure of the president. The president is perfectly within his rights to replace them at a moment's notice.
Not for corrupt reasons.
It's not for corrupt reasons.
The president
It is for performance reasons.
Okay.
He didn't think they were performing.
Let's talk about performance, all right?
Okay.
These prosecutors that were fired, all Republicans, every one of them.
That's, well, theoretically.
All of them were, except one, there's one counterexample. Every other one, they were in the top in the country. They were recognized, they had great performance reviews. They were recognized as the top best prosecutors in the country.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And even Attorney General Gonzalez has said, okay, it wasn't really based on performance. McNulty said it was, and now he's resigned. Let's face it. They were fired for political reasons because Karl Rove wanted them to prevent blacks from voting. Let's face it.
You can't take the politics out of politics, Mark. These
okay.
people are appointed
right.
by
And
the
you're okay
appointed,
with that.
I'm not, that's not why they were removed.
We
no.
don't know
they
why.
They were
yet.
Not removed.
This needs to be investigated
not,
more, don't you think?
I don't know. I don't personally think it does.
No,
I think
no, it's covered all
I think
up.
It's, I think
Let's
it's
not
a,
talk
it's a
about
presidential
it.
Appointment.
It's time for Attorney General Gonzalez to resign, isn't it? Even Republicans
A lot of people in the
for
Congress
it.
Think he should.
What
we'll
do you
see.
Think? What do you think?
I think that it would be an interesting decision the president to make down
I'll
the road.
I'll take that as a yes. All right. Let's talk about something else. D.C. has a law mm-hmm. to ban guns.
Mm-hmm.
The people of the District of Columbia, in their democratic wisdom, have voted for this law.
It's such a safe haven. There's never. It's an idyllic place, the District of
Columbia. Actually,
there's never any shootings.
Actually, D.C.'s violence rate is below the national average today. I don't know if you know that.
And where's their top 10? They're still in top 10 in homicide.
No, below the national
average. Top
20. In the 1990s, they were the murder capital of the world.
When they had this law in place, by the way.
They put, now with the law.
The law was in place that you referenced then.
Look, I'm not arguing over the wisdom of the judgment of the people of D.C. We can argue about it. It's really a debate for another day. My question is this. When you have a people of a state, locality, vote democratically for something,
mm-hmm.
okay,
mm-hmm.
is...
That's found unconstitutional by a court, and then no, it's not going to apply.
That's right. So let's talk about that. This is the first time in 200-plus years ever that the Second Amendment has been used to strike down legislation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? In 1939, there's a very famous case that says the Second Amendment is all about militias. It says, quote, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And the Supreme Court held in the Miller case in 1939, what that means is you can't stop well-regulated militias. And I agree with that. I have no problem with well-regulated state militias. D.C. Court of Appeals, as you know, has taken this further and said it doesn't have to be in a militia.
That's right.
You can own any gun whatsoever.
They've thrown out the interpretation.
Okay. So you agree with
that? Goes to Supreme Court.
Right. It probably will. I mean, we don't know if D.C. will appeal. I suspect they will.
The mayor says he's going to appeal. I think the Court of Appeals made the right decision.
And you believe
it's
that
proper
the Second Amendment
the Second
says
Amendment
that people
gives you
can
the right
bear,
to bear
any arms.
Arms
they want?
I think that in the district case that we're talking about, I think the Court of Appeals made the right decision.
Okay. You don't have to be in a well-regulated militia.
You do not have to be in a well-regulated militia, considering
view,
it's not the 1700s anymore.
I agree.
I think it has changed.
I agree. And, of course, this was written
And, of
in
course,
the
you believe the Constitution evolved.
This was written.
And there's a penumbra and all these
this
other
things.
This was
written in the 1700s. Now,
so you think you're a strict constitutionalist, Mark.
I've always
right?
been. That's why
that's
I carry
amazing.
This thing right here.
Okay.
I am a big strict constructionist.
So you're a strict
constructionist. Let me ask you this.
You and Justice Scalia.
Except Justice Scalia isn't a strict constructionist because he's a hypocrite, and we can talk about that another day. Let me ask you about the right to keep and bear arms. Are there any limitations in your view?
Are there limitations?
Can a mentally ill person have...
No.
Why not? Why do the people... If we don't have to be in a militia...
A felon? No.
Okay. I'm glad to hear that. I also agree that a felon... But there are no restrictions in here about
you're
a felon
distracting
and a mentally
from
ill.
The case
the only thing
at
here is about a militia.
In the District of Columbia, it was about handguns.
Right.
That's what the case was. You're bringing up things that aren't
it
present in the fact pattern.
It doesn't say handguns. It says keep and bear arms.
But that doesn't matter. We're talking about the District of Columbia case.
I understand.
The case is about handguns. I'm not going to comment. You asked me about the District of Columbia case.
The District of Columbia case.
It was properly decided.
As
so you agree it's properly decided.
I don't agree it's properly decided. I think you only militias are protected.
It doesn't involve mentally ill people.
Because it doesn't involve militias.
Who's
but
a militia?
Let me ask you, no one is, which is why they have a right to ban
so
handguns.
So no one should have guns.
No. The D.C. has a right to ban all guns in its jurisdiction.
Yeah, but they're not a militia.
Except those in the D.C.
So
militia.
So what about in Virginia?
The people of Virginia can do what the people of Virginia want to do.
But they're not militias.
No. All this does is a restriction on government. What all the Second Amendment does, as I read it, is it says government cannot take arms away from a well-regulated militia. That's what I see Amendment 2 is doing. Okay? If D.C. has a well-regulated militia and the D.C. government tried to stop that, it would be unconstitutional in my view. Okay. My question is this. If this is upheld by the United States Supreme Court, what are the limitations?
I think that it would provide states like New York. I believe Chicago has a handgun ban. I think those would be found unconstitutional as well.
Okay, why just handguns?
I'm not talking about mentally insane people. I'm not sure mentally insane.
How about machine guns? They've been banned since 1934.
Oh, yeah.
Automatic
weapons, assault weapons.
Exactly. How is a machine gun any different from a handgun under the Second Amendment? Do you see a difference?
I think that if you go back to the D.C. case, that's all we're talking about in the fact pattern.
I
don't think someone has brought a case to court.
You think you can make a distinguishment? You think that you could overturn the D.C.
I'm not saying the court made the distinguishment. It's not me.
I know. I'm asking if you were on the United States Supreme Court, you would say that you would overturn the ban on handguns. Would you also overturn the ban on machine guns?
That's not before the court.
I know.
I'm not going to comment on something that's purely speculative.
I will comment about speculation all the time. That's what we do as a lawyer. Let me tell you, my view, the Second Amendment protects militias. That's all it protects.
Right.
One last thing. Let's see. Last thing I want to talk about, Tony Blair. We only got a few seconds left. Can you agree with me that Tony Blair would have had a very different prime ministership if he hadn't spent most of it being George Bush's poodle?
Well, it's kind of interesting now the Conservative Party's ahead in the polls. So, you know, you look at Germany elected a conservative.
But they're mad at
you
Tony
look at
Blair
France, they elected
George
a conservative.
Poodle,
as I told you earlier, Europe's moving to the right.
Let me suggest to you it's not about right and left.
And England's and Great Britain's going to be
Let me suggest to you that Tony Blair would have gone down as a pretty good leader of Great Britain if it hadn't been for support of George Bush, just as Lyndon Johnson would have gone down as a great president if it hadn't been for Vietnam. But Vietnam trumped his legacy. Iraq trumped Blair's legacy.
Tony Blair had a successful run, and he also won a re-election during the Iraq.
England has learned they've got to be
they're going to elect more conservative leadership
from George Bush. That's it for the Inside Scoop, folks. I hope you enjoyed the debate. There's more on this show and other shows we do at RadioInsideScoop.com. Comment on the blog. We'll see you next time.